Are you looking for new books to read? Do you like finding a new special author? Are you tired of the same old books from the same old authors? Well then, welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where you can hear from fantastic new authors. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have worked hard to write great new books. Hear about their book and why you should check it out. So sit back and listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
So this is an excerpt from a chapter called, from chapter 7 called Pink Platform Shoes. Okay, this is the place. That'll be $5. I paid the fare and emerged from the cab, teetering even more as the pink platforms negotiated their way across the uneven paved parking lot. I imagine Misty standing up for the first time on her legs. Wait, you know what? Can I start over? I'm sorry. I want to put my cans on so I can hear my voice. Okay, sorry about that, Steven. Okay, let me start over. Okay, this is the place. That'll be $5. I paid the fare and emerged from the cab, teetering. Let me start over. I'm sorry. I'm not with it. I'm sorry. Okay, this is the place. That'll be $5. I paid the fare and emerged from the cab, teetering even more as the pink platforms negotiated their way across the uneven parking lot. I imagine Misty standing up for the first time on her new legs right after she was born, and I found the courage to hold my head high. My bag was firmly planted on my shoulder as I clutched the small carry-on, pausing for a moment, wondering if the cabbie had dropped me off at the right place. Dave's was not a place I pictured the reunion with my father would take place. I knew it was his local watering hole, but this was a hole in the wall, a dive joint. I swung the door open. It took a moment to adjust my vision to the dimly lit bar. At 1 p.m., the sun had still not set, so Dave's was as dark as the old cellar and as cold as the freezer chest full of stale pastries. As my eyes adjusted, I could make out a pool table in the center, surrounded by a few torn-up booths and a bar. A small light illuminated the way to the restrooms, and a payphone hung on the wall near the door. The old jukebox was playing one of Wild Bill's favorites, Nat King Cole's Smile, so I knew I was in the right place. I paused a moment to listen to the words, blinking back tears. Intuitively, I knew Wild Bill wouldn't want to see Sam crying. So I headed to the phone, affixed to the wall, pretending to be chatting up an old friend. My fingers traced graffiti on the walls, phone numbers, and hearts with initials engraved inside. Gathering my emotions, I waited for the song to end. With my composure in check, I made my entrance and began walking toward the man hunched over at the bar, who seemed to know I was staring at him, as he swiveled on his bar stool, just enough for me to glimpse his profile. The next record dropped down on the jukebox, and a Waylon Jennings song played as a layer of cigarette smoke lit over the bar lifted. It was him, Wild Bill, my father. He barked up, "Give me another Via Water Tall, and hey, Mikey." He turned toward me with a twinkle in his eye and a broad smile and nonchalantly announced, "This here's my girl, Sam." Mikey said, "What'll it be, young lady?" "How about a Coke?" I replied as the corners of my mouth attempted to squeak out a smile. My dad laughed and said, "Make it a rum and Coke." I felt less like a long-lost daughter and more like I was playing a part in a film. Our exchange didn't feel real. It felt oddly scripted. Wild Bill didn't exhibit any affection or show any excitement about our meeting after all these years. He kept his emotions close to the vest as he bragged to all the bar cronies that he had three more blue-eyed beauties just like me. His buddies took me in with skepticism, as though this young girl coming to town might throw things off for Wild Bill, and they seemed protective of him. They were suspicious of me. Among the men at the bar were the Estrada brothers, Lionel, George, and Carlos, who were lawyers and liked to gamble on the ponies. Wild Bill was their handicapper. They must have had some big winnings that day because Bill seemed in good graces with the Estradas. They slapped him on the back, saying stuff like, "Wild Bill, there isn't a better handicapper than Wild Bill. Give us another round." When the Johnny Cash song, "A Boy Named Sue," hit the rotation on the jukebox, Wild Bill launched into a colorful story of how his long-lost daughter Sam had inspired the song. He and Johnny had been out drinking and were driving through El Paso, Texas while out on tour. He recounted the story as if Cash were in the room to corroborate every detail. "We were both dressed in black cowboy outfits because, you know, I was the one who inspired Johnny to wear all black. And I was telling him about my girls I left behind, but not because I wanted to. It was that good-for-nothing J.D. Deamer that drove me out of my girls' lives. He put the law on me if I ever came around. But I asked Johnny. I asked him. Did I ever tell you about my girl named Sam? Prettiest little thing you ever saw. Little blondie, eyes blue as a sapphire jewel, and I got three more like her. Blue-eyed, and one, well, two, with brown eyes like mine." Bill took a moment to take a swig of his whiskey and continued. "Five little girls. Their mama packed them up and took them back to the farm. I guess she did right." The air in Dave's was thick with smoke and now doused in sadness to where one more strike of a match and the place might blow. Lionel Estrada, the older and most sensible of the brothers, intervened. He remained calm while presenting the facts with a soothing sense of reason. "Now come on, Bill. You taught John Wayne to ride a horse. You convinced Dean not to leave the Rat Pack. You invented the twist-off bottle cap. Not much of a father. Come on." "I've been on a perilous journey of the heart ever since I left the girls with that son of a bitch, J.D. Deamer." Now he was addressing me. "But that didn't mean I wasn't thinking of you. I told Johnny I had a girl named Sam, and Johnny, he says, 'That ain't nothing. I got a boy named Sue.'" After hanging on Wild Bill's every word, the Estradas and a few other cronies at the bar were so quiet it made the rest of the bar patrons also stop talking, as if they were waiting for a cataclysmic event to occur. And then in unison, the entire establishment broke into laughter. It seemed they may have heard this story more than once, but it was a revelation to me. And if only for a tiny moment, time stood still, and I wished I could hold on to this feeling forever. I stood up in my pink platform shoes and hugged my father. While Bill yelled out the order, "Give everybody another round," and then he said, "You sure are a tall one," oblivious to the 6-inch platform shoes, which brought me so far, just like the salesman said they would. So, that's almost to the end of the chapter, so I'll just finish it up there.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.